Before I begin my presentation, I'd first like to acknowledge the authors of the abstract, Dominique Codagota, Kathleen Sanchez, John Lamori, and Katie Eilers. Although we've seen significant improvements in immunization coverage rates over the past several years, racial and ethnic disparities continue to persist, specifically among African American communities. The Los Angeles County Immunization Program has conducted several studies in order to identify the factors that contribute to low immunization coverage. And studies have revealed that low coverage rates often result from a combination of social, cultural, and health access barriers. In 2005, the African American Immunization Collaborative was developed using grant funds by the California Department of Public Health. And the purpose of the collaborative was to reduce immunization disparities and combat barriers and enhance immunization-related behaviors among African Americans, utilizing paraprofessionals recruited from the community to serve as immunization care coordinators. It's a multi-component intervention whereby we conduct outreach and education in the community, intensive care coordination in community clinics, and we also provide health insurance education and enrollment assistance. The partnership is a unique one because it partners local public health departments with community-based organizations and community clinics, both of which have been identified as trusted sources of immunization information among African Americans. The partners are the Los Angeles County Immunization Program, two community-based organizations, InMed MotherNet LA and Shields for Families, and two community clinics, Watts Healthcare Corporation and St. John's Well Child and Family Center. And currently we have four immunization care coordinators, or ICCs, with the collaborative, and they're actually here today, and I'd like to just take a moment to introduce them. Janaea Howard, if you could please stand, with Shields for Families. Regina Norris with St. John's Well Child and Family Center. Tarima Brooks with Watts Healthcare Corporation, and Rocio Sevilla with InMed MotherNet LA. The objective of the study is to assess clinic or community impact of promotion delivered by immunization care coordinators as measured by immunization coverage and parental knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs. The study population consists of African American parents and guardians of African American children less than 3 years of age in South Los Angeles communities, including Compton and Watts. And these areas were chosen because they've been previously identified as being at high risk for under-immunization, as determined by a high proportion of residents on public assistance and living below the federal poverty level, a high proportion of children less than 5 years of age, and a significant percentage of African Americans. As I mentioned, the intervention is both clinic and community-based. We have two immunization care coordinators at community clinics where they provide care coordination of African-American patients using the immunization registry. In this case, care coordination consists of tracking patients who have either missed immunization appointments or whose appointments are due soon. The ICCs distribute postcards to patients. They also implement intensive telephone follow-up for all African-American patients, and they provide education as needed. They also maintain a referral and tracking system for all patients who've received care coordination services. On the community side, we also have two ICCs who are responsible for conducting outreach, education, and referrals to African American families. And this happens in the form of one-on-one education, group parent presentations, or broader-based community-based awareness in the form of health fairs, information tables, or targeted distribution of immunization information. And one of our ICCs is also a certified application assistant and so equipped to provide technical support around health insurance education and enrollment assistance. So the impact of intervention was assessed using three outcome variables: clinic immunization coverage, community immunization coverage, and community knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs. Our first objective was to increase immunization coverage among African American children less than 3 years of age at community clinics that implemented the care coordination intervention, so at St. John's and Watts Healthcare. And this was evaluating using clinic assessment software application, or CASA. We had a baseline CASA rate that was measured in 2004, followed by a 2007 assessment, and CASAs were conducted both manually and using the immunization registry. Our second objective was to increase community-wide immunization coverage among African American children in our target communities. And due to limited resources, we could not conduct a population-based assessment, so a proxy for community coverage was calculated using a weighted average of CASA rates from floor clinics and offices that serve a significant number of African Americans. The sites included two community clinics, one private provider, and one public health clinic. A baseline CASA average was measured in 2004, followed by a 2007 assessment. And our third objective was to increase community-wide knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs among African-American parents and guardians in our target community. And a proxy for community knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs was also assessed using questionnaires administered at the same four clinics and offices that we used to assess community immunization coverage. A baseline KAB was measured in 2005, followed by a 2007 assessment. So results for our clinic immunization coverage show that from 2004 to 2007, coverage rates for two-year-old patients at Watts Healthcare increased 29 percentage points from 45% to 74%. When we look at the St. John's data, the apparent reduced coverage from 71% to 45% was partially due to the difference in the method of assessment that was used in 2007. So for instance, in the Watts Healthcare Corporation group, both the 2004 and 2007 assessments were conducted using manual CASA audits, where a sample of children 24 to 35 months of age were sampled. However, in the St. John's assessment, the 2004 assessment was conducted manually, while the 2007 assessment was conducted using the immunization registry, where population data is exported into CASA and exclusion criteria is not applied. So when we compare the Watts Healthcare Corporation data, since both of these assessments were conducted manually, we can deduce that this improvement in coverage is likely a true increase in up-to-date rates. However, when looking at St. John's Well Child and Family Center, since these two audits were conducted in different manner, it's difficult to assess whether the impact of our care coordination intervention. So in 2008, we plan to conduct another follow-up assessment using the immunization registry at St. John's and compare it against our 2007 assessment to determine an accurate assessment of our care coordination intervention. Our second objective of community immunization coverage was assessed in order to evaluate the effectiveness of our community-based outreach efforts. And a weighted average of CASA rates from four clinics or offices that serve a significant number of African Americans was used to assess this coverage. From 2004 to 2007, we see that the immunization coverage rates for two-year-old children in the target community increased by 8.6% or 4.4 percentage points. In order to assess change in community knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, questionnaires were administered to African-American parents of children less than 3 years of age at four clinics and offices that serve a significant number of African-Americans. Two of the sites were community clinics, herefore referred to as CC clinics, and two sites were non-CC clinics, or where no care coordination had been implemented. A baseline was established in 2005, and a follow-up assessment was conducted in 2007. Now, since the questionnaires were conducted at the clinic level, this was a clinic-based KAB, which was used as a proxy for community KAB. Now, this schematic represents the data, how it was analyzed, and how it will be presented today. It's important to note that our 2005 and 2007 samples were distinct cohorts. We did not follow the same cohort over time. However, we did want to establish a system-wide change in knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, and determine if the education and outreach that the ICC has conducted in the community pervaded the community. We used statistical significance was calculated using chi-square tests. When comparing the demographics of the 2005 baseline and 2007 follow-up samples, we see that there are no statistically significant differences in demographics except with respect to type of insurance. The 2005 sample was more likely to insured with Medi-Cal or Medicaid as opposed to the 2007 sample. In summary, our population was relatively young. Majority of the parents were 24 years or less. Majority lived without a partner. Estimated household income was less than $20,000 per year. Most had completed some high school or had completed high school. Majority had 2 to 3 children in their household. Most had health insurance coverage, and the most prominent type was Medi-Cal. And the age of the sample child was less than 12 months. Similar demographics were noted across variables when comparing the non-care coordination sites with our care coordination sites. Again, no statistically significant differences were noted except for insurance coverage. So our knowledge, attitudes, and belief questions assessed immunization history, practices, knowledge, beliefs, and barriers. So I'm going to just spend a few minutes talking about some of the results from our knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs questionnaire. When asked how do you know when your child needs his or her next immunization, majority relied on their healthcare provider to inform them of when their immunization shots were due. However, when we compare our samples at baseline and follow-up, we see an increase in the percentage of individuals who indicated that they receive phone or mail reminders. A similar increase is also noted when looking within clinics, both within our non-CC clinics as well as within our CC clinics. And this increase in our CC clinic sites could be attributed to the intensive care coordination or tracking that was implemented at these sites. A similar increase was noted in self-initiated behavior. Data showed an increase in the percentage of individuals who indicated that they either, one, look at their child's immunization record, or two, call the doctor to determine when their child's next shots are due. This increase is noted when comparing baseline and follow-up data, as well as within both non-care coordination clinics and care coordination clinics. Now, in addition to conducting the care coordination at clinic sites, our ICCs, when they come in contact with patients at the clinics, also take the time to educate the parents about how to read the immunization record and use it as a guide to follow their children's immunization shots. So this increase that we see in our CC clinics could be attributed to the supportive involvement provided by our immunization care coordinators. When asked what diseases will immunizations protect your child from, results were categorized according to zero diseases, those who named between one and three diseases, and those who named greater than four. When comparing baseline and follow-up samples, we see a statistically significant positive decrease in the percentage of individuals who could not name any diseases. A similar decrease is noted both within CC sites as well as within non-CC sites. When looking at the results for those who named between one and three diseases, we see some variation. From baseline and follow-up, results indicated a statistically significant increase in knowledge at the community level and also an increase in knowledge within CC clinics. However, we see a decrease in our non-CC clinic sites. Alternatively, when we look at four or more diseases, we see an increase in our non-CC clinic sites, while a decrease is noted within our CC clinic sites. Between baseline and follow-up, the results remain somewhat consistent. Regarding the purposes of immunizations, participants were most familiar with the role that immunizations play in keeping children healthy. Increases were noted from baseline to follow-up and within both non-CC and CC clinic sites. In the CC clinic sites, we see a dramatic statistically significant increase of 40 percentage points, which could be attributed to the enhanced focus on the purpose of immunizations as relayed by ICCs during the care coordination services at those clinics. Now, although we noted some increases in knowledge and practices, data reveals that myths and misperceptions about vaccines persist in African American communities. The next few slides will highlight some of these immunization belief barriers. Participants were asked to reply with true or false to statements like, too many shots at one time can be unhealthy for a child. In this case, results show an increase in the percentage of individuals from baseline to follow-up who believe the statement to be true. This barrier was also noted within our CC clinic sites. However, we did see a decrease among our non-CC clinic sites in the percentage of individuals who indicated true. A similar trend was noted when responding to the statement, immunizations are for diseases that are not around anymore. We see an increase in the percentage of individuals from baseline to follow-up who believe the statement to be true, and also within our CC clinic sites. However, again, we note a decrease in our non-CC clinic sites. The trend continues when participants respond to the statement, it is okay for a child to receive three or four shots at the same time. From baseline to follow-up and within CC clinic sites, we know a statistically significant increase in those who question whether children should receive multiple shots at a given time. However, we note a decrease in our non-CC clinics. And finally, when asked to respond to the statement, it is not normal for a child to experience fever, swelling, or mild rash after getting a shot, we note an increase in the percentage of individuals who believe the statement to be true from both baseline and follow-up, as well as within our CC clinic sites. However, again, we see a decrease in the percentage of individuals who indicated true at our non-CC sites. So in summary, our first objective was to evaluate the impact of our care coordination intervention on clinic immunization coverage. And data showed a significant increase in immunization coverage at Watts Healthcare from 45% to 74%. As mentioned earlier, the coverage at St. John's will be reassessed using the immunization registry in 2008 and compared against the 2007 assessment to determine the impact of the care coordination intervention at that clinic site. We acknowledge that there were limitations to using CASA rates to determine the efficacy of our care coordination intervention. Although we would have liked to conduct or like to manually review and transcribe immunization records of African American patients, due to limited resources, we utilized the clinic CASA rates as a proxy for African American immunization coverage. Secondly, CASA audits are not race specific, so the CASA rate does not provide an accurate coverage for African American patients only. Secondly, we assessed community-wide immunization coverage to determine the impact of our community-based awareness and education on African American parents. And data revealed an increase in the percentage of African American children who were up to date at 2 years of age from 54.6% to 59%. Again, due to limited resources, we were unable to review or transcribe immunization histories in the community, and for this reason, a weighted average of clinic CASA rates was calculated and used as a proxy. This method was limited because it's based on the assumption that African Americans who received community awareness education by the ICCs in the community also received care at one of these four clinic sites. And finally, in order to assess change in immunization-related behaviors, surveys were administered among African American parents and guardians. Overall, data revealed that parents believe that it's important for children to be up to date. Practical barriers like lack of transportation, competing family priorities, overlapping work and clinic hours, as well as long wait times, were cited as primary difficulties for why parents don't get their children immunized. Our healthcare providers, followed by community-based organizations, were identified as trusted sources of immunization information. We did see positive increases in immunization knowledge and practices. Specifically, participants were more familiar with the types of vaccine-preventable diseases that vaccines prevent. They believe that the purpose of immunizations is keeping kids healthy. We also saw an increase in the number of individuals who receive reminders via mail and phone or utilize their child's immunization record to keep track of shots, which is a true testament to the intensive care coordination provided at the clinics. And we also saw increases in the percentage of individuals who believe that children less than two are especially at risk for VPDs and who also believe that it is safe for a newborn or infant to be immunized. Alternatively, the data also illustrated that myths and misperceptions persist in African American communities. The community continued to harbor concerns about vaccine safety, efficacy, and function. Specifically, participants believed that some vaccines are more harmful than others. They questioned the simultaneous administration of shots as well as the frequency at which shots are given. And there was concerns about vaccine side effects and whether or not they were normal after shots. So with respect to limitations, we were unable to conduct a population-based assessment to assess knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs due to limited resources. And for this reason, our surveys were administered within clinic sites. And in this case, clinic KAB served as a proxy for our community-wide KAB based upon the assumption that the clientele who were surveyed in the clinics were representative of individuals who received education in the community. Our 2005 and 2000 samples were distinct cohorts within clinics, and although it would have been ideal to follow a single cohort, we wanted to measure a systematic, system-wide change in KAB and determine whether our outreach and education had pervaded the community, and for this reason, we chose two unique samples. We did see some sampling variation, which could be attributed to the variation we noticed in KAB between non-care coordination and care coordination sites. And although demographics, as I showed at the beginning of the presentation, there was no statistical significance between these demographics, when we teased them apart further, we did notice slight variation with respect to education and partner status at one CC site, which could have contributed to some sway in the results. Variation in data could also be attributed to other unmeasurable differences that were not addressed in the survey, including perception of risk, locus of control, social support, and mental health. And finally, it's important to note that although variation is seen now, the study was based on two samples that were assessed over a short time frame of only 2 years, given this was a pilot study. So we plan to study the population over several years to determine if these trends continue and stabilize. And finally, since community KAB was assessed in the clinics, the results could have been influenced by the education that our immunization care coordinators, or ICCs, provided at our care coordination clinic sites. So as we look forward, there are several areas that we would like to enhance both our survey as well as our intervention. Specifically, we'd like to expand our survey instrument to address other psychosocial variables that may influence behavior, including social support, mental health, and locus of control. As resources become available, we hope to strengthen our methodology to determine more accurate means of assessing immunization coverage and knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs. And we hope to enhance our multidisciplinary intervention to combat some of the barriers I've identified in our survey. We plan to do this by identifying more non-traditional outreach sites, including programs for expectant and parenting mothers. We hope to tailor our parent training to address parental concerns and misperceptions about vaccine safety and efficacy. And we also hope to implement a provider training which emphasizes the benefits of preventive services and how to address parental concerns. In both our survey, as well as previous studies that have been conducted by the immunization program, providers have been identified as trustworthy sources of information. So by utilizing this avenue, we hope to address some of the barriers that some of the parental concerns and barriers identified in the survey. And finally, we hope to encourage and implement care coordination and activities at other sites within the community, given we did see such a broad increase in immunization coverage rates at the clinic level. So use of reminder recall as well as registry to conduct follow-up, and perhaps also use of additional paraprofessionals to disseminate immunization information messages. So thank you very much and look forward to questions.
Now is the time we're going to open up the mic for any questions. We would love it if everyone who has a question would please use the mic as we're recording for the presentations for the web. So please step up now and ask your questions, and our presenters, I'm sure, would be delighted to answer your questions.
Okay, my question is for Nikita. Did you find a particular venue that was receptive to send your outreach workers to in the African American community? In other words, we have public health clinics and we have good participation, but we don't know where to go to make that link in the community.
So can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Are you talking specifically with our community outreach and education that we conduct?
Like when you send them out into the community to try to capture these parents.
Absolutely. We've identified several trustworthy sites through focus groups that have been conducted in the past, and many of those sites are childcare organizations, Head Start programs, as well as social support groups and community-based organizations. All of those areas where they may already receive health or social service care have been identified as trustworthy sources of information. So that's where we began to target our outreach. Also, we are looking into expanding into programs where we have, as I mentioned, expectant mothers. So we work with our CalSafe programs as well as some of Soledad international programs as well, where we have individuals who are pregnant who may have failed in the educational system, so we can catch them early as we move forward.
I was wondering if you've gone to any churches or anything like that?
Churches, ironically, were identified in our focus groups as not an ideal means of disseminating information. If the churches do have health ministries, we've had some success there. However, what has been identified previously are that churches are a venue for spiritual care and spiritual observation, and that health issues may not be the most appropriate avenue in churches.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for our presenters?
Hi, I have a question for Nithi. And maybe I missed it in your presentation, but it seems like some of the changes were not in the direction you'd like, especially
yes.
with the, correctly identifying the number of diseases. Was the intervention focused on like what diseases are vaccine preventable or, with me in immunization communication, maybe that's not an important determinant of the right behavior anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you focus on that, if this was disappointing or what you think.
I mean, certainly there were results that were unfavorable towards the intervention. However, we did see that there were increases in more of our immunization practices that occurred at the clinic level, which we were excited and did were supportive of our care coordination intervention. Yes, we did highlight some barriers, particularly around the ones that were identified in the slides. Our intervention in our community primarily consists of information dissemination on a broader base, whether it be at health fairs or information tables. We also conduct group parent presentations, which are longer 30 to 45 minute presentations with mothers, where we address kind of the ins and outs of vaccine preventable diseases. We go through all the vaccine preventable diseases as well as the immunizations that they prevent. We also address the yellow card and how to read the yellow card, as well as some myths and misperceptions. However, what we are seeing here is perhaps we need to target that intervention to focus more closely on some of the areas that were identified as barriers here as we move forward. That's also just supportive of how we hope to plan to enhance our intervention as well. We are planning on moving away from kind of traditional information dissemination at health fairs and information tables, since it's not as easily evaluated, and looking at more one-on-one education through group presentations and social support groups, where it's an opportunity to dialogue and share questions and concerns.